church and through each one of us. Am I tracking here? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is not that we cause a holy ground, a holy moment, but the Lord does. The Lord does. And there are times that I believe we don't get his desire to be with us. Not just Sunday morning, but every moment of the day. For a while, Fernando asked every Sunday morning when he would preach, does anybody remember a question he kept asking? Why are we here? Did you ever get tired of that question? Don't answer. Don't answer. I don't want to discourage him. You know what? The gathering of the church of this Sunday morning, the 20 minutes of worship, the 30 minutes of teaching, those don't make us Christians, does it? It doesn't make us believers. It doesn't make us saints. It doesn't make us faithful, does it? Gathering here every Sunday morning doesn't make us who we are. But you know what it does? Does anybody want to tell me what it does to you? Yes. Anything else? What does Sunday morning strengthen? What else? Grow? Spur each other on? Anyone else? Lift up the name of Jesus. What do you think the purpose of the church was intended to be by God, Lord Almighty? To glorify him? Do you know he's not coming for one person individually? Who is he coming for? The bride of Christ. And who is the bride of Christ? We are. We are. And so I think that becoming a believer is individualistic, but becoming the church and the bride of Christ has to be corporate. So I can spend time with the Lord every Sunday morning here, and then I can put him in my pocket, or I can leave him in the chair and then come back the next Sunday. How do you think that would work? Do you think that would work? You know, there are times that we have part-time jobs and we can leave the part-time job at work and go home. Some of us have full-time jobs and we sometimes take the full-time work home. Does it work to leave God here every Sunday morning? So when I say, what is the question that Fernando kept asking? Why do you come here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday? If we are not in holy ground. And Fernando can't make it happen, and I can't make it happen, and the worship leader can't make it happen, but who can? Who can change us? Who can transform us? You know, the way that you live your life is up to you, right? I can't make that choice for you. So my question to you today is, do you live for God for Sunday mornings, or do you live for God 24/7? It's your choice. We have a free will, don't we? So who are you living for? And the reason that I'm bringing this up is not because I have it figured out, but because the Lord is asking me, what is temporal and what is eternal? And I think I spoke a little bit about this in the past, about what things you give time to is where your thoughts and your love and your heart is. So let's go into Psalms 23:5. I think I gave that to someone to read. Not the one. Yeah. What do you think that on a Sunday morning, the Holy One invited you here. He booked the table. He prepared the meal. He sat down to join you, and the reservation cost him everything. What do you think when you read that? He's inviting you. It's not just a Sunday morning. He invites you every single day of the week. And you know what? It cost him everything. It cost him his life. From the beginning of time, before you accepted Christ, he said, "You are worth it, and I'm going to give myself for you." He gave his only son, so it cost him everything. And many times, he paid for the reservation, and we don't show up. I'm not trying to get you down. I'm trying to challenge you to think differently of how we spend time with the Lord, how we come to Sunday morning and we don't want to sing because I had a hard day or I had a bad day or I don't feel like it. And the reason I'm telling you is because I've been having this conversation with the Lord. I don't want to do it. I don't feel like it. I don't have energy. Yet it cost him everything. It cost him everything. So, one of the things he told me, you are part of something much bigger than yourself, something sacred. You are part of something much bigger than yourself. Many times we don't understand that he is here waiting for us. He's here waiting for us on Sunday morning. He's waiting for us in the car. He's waiting for us at home, in the closet, in the shower, in the car, wherever you are. He's waiting for you to just say something to him, for him to be able to answer. And you know, something was said yesterday afternoon was, if you feel that you've grown apart from the Lord, something to think about is, who moved? Because he's waiting. He's here. He's in your house. He's in your heart. So who moved? Through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, he has given us a church. To join the church is to become more like him. So we sacrifice. We tend to be with people that we might just, I'm not too sure if I want to connect with this person. I'm not too sure if this person is nice and friendly, or I'm afraid of this other person. But you know what? Yesterday when we were at this gathering, the guy said, if someone is singing off key, if someone spits on you, if someone is shrieking or singing beautifully, get used to it. That's the way it's going to be in heaven. We all are different. We all sing different. We all have different personalities. We all have different giftings. And yet God loved us enough to send his son to die for each one of us. So, one of the things that the Lord keeps telling me is, what is important to you, Judy? What is important to you? Whoops. Wrong. There. How much value are you putting on the temporary? How much value are you placing on the eternal? God wants to give you his power on earth as it is in heaven. And do we really know who we're praying to? Do we understand that we're praying to a mighty God who can? I think sometimes we pray and we just think, I'm just going to pray just because I'm supposed to. I'm just going to pray because he's not going to answer anyways. It's not going to be my way. So I'm just going to pray. Do we value the eternal, or do we value the temporary where we're at, which is, if you think about it, if you think closely about it, the temporary here on earth could be 5 seconds, and the eternal could be an hour. So we're going to be on this earth for 5 seconds, and the rest of our lives, we're going to spend in eternity. And if you think about the scripture that Patty read at the beginning, it says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels." That's what we're going to be with. "Numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000, they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.'" What are we going to do when we go to heaven? Anyone? Worship. Worship. We are going to worship. So, what do we give value to? Anyone? Does this make you think? This was very sobering to me when you hear the Lord say, "What's more important to you? The eternal or the temporary? What are you giving more importance to?" Those are questions you don't want to hear from the Lord, but maybe I do. And going back to the question Fernando asked for a long time, sermon after sermon, do you know why I'm asking you that? Why are you here? You know, I've done a little bit of research. And the reason I ask you that is because as human beings in 2022, and this research that I did is old. It's 2015. But it's really a research that says that our attention span in 2000 was 15 seconds. Our attention span was 15 seconds in 2000. Does anyone know what it was in the 2015? 8.5 seconds. And you know what they say? The attention span of a goldfish is 9 seconds. And that could be myth, or that could be wrong, or that could be a joke. But that's what the research said. They can keep their eyes on an object for 9 seconds. And we don't have an attention span of more than 8.5. And that was in 2015. I'm sure it's less. So, Just some interesting facts here. 25% of teens forget important details of their close relatives and friends. 7% of people forget their own birthday occasionally. 39% of Americans have forgotten one basic piece of information or lose one item they use on a daily basis in the last week. Right, Patty? How does that work? The average person picks up their phone more than 1,500 times every week. That's once every 5.5 minutes. The phone takes up an average of 3 hours and 60 minutes of someone's day. And this was as of 2015. So I'm sure it is worse. The average amount of time someone watches an internet video is 2.7 minutes. And we don't keep their attention any longer than that. 59% of senior executives prefer to watch a video than read a text if they had a choice. Why do I give you this information? Yeah. If we do not spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time getting to know Him, our attention span is gone, it's lost. So we will not remember his word. We will not remember. It's almost like the man going to the mirror and looking at himself, right? And then you leave and you forget what you look like. We forget who God is and what he looks like. And I give you this information because I heard the Lord say, Judy, you are valuing the temporary, the temporal, more than you're valuing the eternal. That is sobering, isn't it? I want to tell you a story. And this one is a true story. My brother died August 17th. And see, I believe he died prematurely. I believe he died prematurely. And you might agree with me or might not. But see, he had a lot of health issues. And it wasn't that he wasn't taking care of himself. It was that he was living for today. He wasn't thinking about the future. He wasn't thinking about the now and what the choices that we make today affect our future. And in 2019, he had health issues, and he was asked to eat differently, to take care of himself. He had high cholesterol, high blood sugar. He was a diabetic, high blood pressure. He had a gamut of issues. He had his leg amputated because he had pure circulation. And for a while, you know, he took care of himself. And he stopped eating some of the things he shouldn't eat. And then soon after, he decided that he didn't care anymore. That he wanted to eat what he wanted. He didn't want to follow a diet because he wanted to enjoy the now, the today. Do we understand that the choices that you make today affect your tomorrow, right? And so I'm telling you this story. I mean, my brother met the Lord or recommitted his life before he died. So I know where he is. We know that. But I believe there was more life in him that the Lord wanted to work through him. Yet he decided how to live. He made those choices. And I believe that the Lord is asking us, what are the choices that you're making today that are affecting your tomorrow? Because they are small and they are large. And I'm telling you this today because the Lord is asking me, what are the things that you're choosing today that will affect your tomorrow? Many times I choose today instead of choosing the future. And the Lord is saying, Judy, I want you to live your life like tomorrow matters, not just today. So health issues, I've had health issues plenty in the last 4 years. You know that, you've heard me. And the Lord is saying, Judy, what are you going to change? What are you going to do about it? I've tried, I've done some things to change, but I'm a work in progress. I have weaknesses. I love chocolate. I love coffee with creamer. I love a Diet Coke. I love candy. Those are choices that are today, not for my tomorrow. And the Lord is saying, wake up. You know, one of the times we had our Bible study, I told the women that the Lord said, wake up. I'm speaking, wake up. So church, I hear the Lord saying, he's speaking, wake up. What your tomorrow will be is what you do today. Does that make sense? There's a scripture that I wanted to share, and I think I skipped it. 2 Corinthians 4, 17, 18. Did I give it to someone?
For our light eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal.
Whoops. There's a zero in there, 17, 18, 17. Yeah. Do you see that? Thank you. For our light, thank you, Daniel. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory, and that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but at what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. I have a question for you today. What is the Lord telling you? When I'm speaking this morning, is the Lord pinpointing some things in your life? You don't have to tell me. That's between you and God. That he's saying, are you giving more attention to something that's temporal, that's something that's temporary, than what's eternal? You know, there are times we say, I am too busy. I'm too busy, Lord. I'm too busy to do this. I'm too busy to do that. I'm too busy to go to church. I'm too busy to go to Bible study. I'm too busy because that makes me feel important. Because we give attention to things that are not eternal. And the Lord is saying, I created you for a purpose. I created you for a purpose. And you will continue to seek things that are not going to give you that satisfaction. They're not going to give you that fulfillment if you don't seek me. If you don't give me my all. When the Lord created you from the beginning of time, this morning we read a scripture about, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Right? And you know what? He created us with a purpose. And if we choose not to do the purpose of the Lord, we will continue to seek the things that are temporary. And when I'm speaking this to you, I'm speaking to myself. Because when my brother died, he had a lot of accolades. He was a professor. He had influenced many lives by teaching them. He was known in the community. But you know what? He didn't have an intimate relationship with the Lord. So whatever we do on earth, what is eternal? Eternal is then to reaching out to those who are lost. Eternal is to build the church. Eternal is working and doing the things that God is asking you to do. If we want our lives to matter and to make a difference. And I think you talked about it, Kevin, one of the last times you preached about making a difference in life. How do you want to be known? Do you want to be known for being a professor? And yes, that's a profession. That's okay. I want to be known for being a lover of Jesus. I want to be known for making a difference in people's lives because I want to encourage them. I want to be known for being a lover of Jesus. That's my heart today. I believe that there are two ways to stay healthy and strong in the Lord. And one area that the Lord has been asking me is to give my life to him 100%, not just 90%, not 75%, which there are many times we say yes to the Lord, but we only give him a percentage. This area here, I'll let you lead, but this area here, you cannot touch because it's not part. I don't give you permission to do that. Does that make sense? Have made compartments to, I give you this part of me, but I don't give you this part of me. This you can't touch. And the other way is believing that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We carry the Holy Spirit in us. And if we do that, then we need to take care of our bodies. Does that make sense? So two ways, giving him 100% of who we are. So when we accept Jesus, it's not a one-time deal. It's a daily process. It's working and walking it out every day. And this is what the Lord is telling me. I'm not telling you have to do this, but he's telling me, what are you doing about your health? What are you doing about your daily walk? What are you doing about your emotions, your feelings? They don't need to lead you. They don't need to rule you. And I'm being vulnerable because that's where the Lord has me. I'm walking through the grieving process of losing my brother prematurely by choices that he made. And I don't want to be there. I want to serve the Lord. I want to stay healthy. I want to serve the Lord with everything that's in me. And I can say it, but am I walking it? Do you know when the word says that? Tell me about your deeds. Faith without deeds. I can have all the faith in the world that I can muster. But if I don't do what the Lord is requiring me to do, I don't have it. Right? So, the one thing that the Lord told me this week was, this is the mandate that I am giving you and the church. Matthew 28, 16, 20. Who has that? Read it out loud, please. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And you know that at the beginning it says all authority in heaven, all authority in heaven. And I believe the Lord is saying, who wants this authority? A couple Sundays ago, we talked about the anointing. Who wants this authority? The Lord is saying, you know, I want to give the church authority. I want to give the church the wisdom. I want to give the church the power to do the things that need to be done in this day and age. The church has to rise up. We have to rise up. Rise up. We have to wake up. Because you know what? People on the earth right now are looking for things that are temporary. And those temporary things will end. And what's in eternity? It's either hell or heaven. We'll either go to hell or go to heaven. What are you putting your attention to? What's your attention span going to? Is it for things that are eternal, or is it for things that are temporary? I have a song that I would like to play. And my prayer, my question to you this morning, who of you, if you stand up, wants to give more value to eternal things than temporary things so that we can run as the church, as the body of Christ, where God has asked us to go, which is to the next level, which is with the power and wisdom and authority that he already has promised. But the church has to rise up.
Matthew 16, 18 through 19 says, "And I tell you, you are Peter. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, it shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven also." Church, this is the continuation of that very moment. This is scripture coming to life. So come on, let's build his church. It's his anyway.
Christ the Lord, our chief cornerstone, no other foundation can we build upon. Not philosophy, nor the wisdom of men, all other ground is seeking sand.
Stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, this morning we just give you who we are, God. Father, we want you to build the church. We want you to give us, Lord, desire for the eternal, God. Father, I declare this morning that we're a church after you. We're a church after your heart. We need your anointing. We need your power. We need your wisdom, oh God. So, Father, I declare that every person that has heard this morning, the words that you placed in my heart, oh God, that they would go home and not say, oh, that was okay, or have complaints. But, Lord, that they would leave here knowing that you desire intimacy with them, that you desire to connect with them. I declare that today is the day of salvation, and today is a new day. Today is a new day for you where the Holy Spirit will pour himself over you. I pray these things and I submit them to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is unannounced. Thank you, Judy. This was powerful and moved me. But I just